Hello and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming.
Starring hey, y'all!
Starring me, Zach, and also what? Rob, Jay, and Alana.
Hello.
Hey, y'all.
We are Matt-less today.
Are we?
And today we're talking about Fallout Episode 2, or as I like to call it, Fallout 2.
Fallout 2.
Which I played, because I'm old.
Yeah, Rob has actually played... Well, actually, Rob wasn't here last week where we all did our Fallout experience sharing. So, Rob,
actually,
would you
please share yours.
I played Fallout a few years after it came out, but I did play Fallout 1, and I never beat it because it's like
that's a lot.
Almost impossible. Yeah, it's like they give you like 30 days to do a near impossible task in game time, and but I did beat Fallout 2. And then many years after it came out, I beat Fallout 3, which I felt like was very, I don't know, kind of just like fetch questy to me, very Bethesda. So I beat it, but I wasn't crazy about it, although I do like the DC setting. So I never did. I only played a little bit of Vegas. I'm sorry, Zach. And then,
you're missing out.
I probably am. I'm sure it's better than Fallout 3.
I don't know. I don't know if it is.
Because they got brought back the original team, I thought, at least part of the team. So that always interested me. And then I never played 4 because the reviews were slightly mixed, at least by Fallout standards. And then I did play Fallout 76 for like an hour or two with a friend, just as a lark. And it was okay.
Alana, have you played any more Fallout 76?
Nope.
Are you going to?
We'll see.
Wow. That might be actually good for the group since it's multiplayer.
We don't have to like learn it on our own time.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to learn the mechanics. But yeah, it's pretty like... open, so we can just kind of wander like we usually do, like I do.
How many people does it usually take?
It would suit us all, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was like I'm pretty sure it suits.
It's like an MMO. It's an MMO, right? You could do it like everybody.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure it does.
West Virginia is a big state. That's where it takes place.
Yeah, so anyway, getting back to Fallout 2. So the beginning is the origin of the smart dog.
Smart dog!
And I thought it took place in the past, like before the bombs dropped, because everything was like super nice.
Wait, what? What?
The opening.
And I are like, what? Wait, what?
The opening where he's working in like the megacorp.
Oh, the scientist.
It was
scientist
very clean.
Guy. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Less dusty than normal.
Yeah, exactly. So I then I was wondering how the dog was going to somehow make it into the future.
That's interesting because you have experience with Fallout.
Right.
So that makes me, like, what?
Well, it's just a little surprise, because from what I remember, even, like, the rich... See, well, this is a issue people have with at least 3, is that it's been 200 years since the apocalypse, and it looks like nobody swept the floor in the meantime. There's still, like, crap everywhere. So even, like, the rich people... Huh? Because it doesn't make sense.
What
are you talking about?
Say that.
Repeat
the statement.
Okay. It's been 200 years since the apocalypse, since
in
all the
vault?
Bombs dropped. What? Yeah. Everywhere.
Everywhere. There's dead bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
And nobody's cleaned up the dead bodies? That's the problem?
In 200 years.
They're busy.
Aren't those fresher dead bodies? Like, more recent.
I mean, just in general, if you're not paid, are you going to sweep up dead bodies?
Yeah, gross.
In 200 years? 200
yes,
years.
200 years.
Are you seriously going to say that you
I can
would
go find you a dead body to clean up in a cemetery? You can go put it somewhere else? No, of course you're not gonna.
Let's not argue about it.
I mean, I pick up litter, but I'm not picking up a body.
Yeah, like if your choices are you need to find water and boil it so you don't die, or clean up a random dead body that isn't near you, what are you going to do?
I suppose that's true. Anyway, so I think that what they're saying is in 200 years, civilization really should have rebuilt itself more than it did.
Well, we don't know how many people are left.
And we're also only getting like a very small pigeon size section of the world.
Yeah, Zach, like historic Bozeman, Montana. You're saying that's what it should be like?
Yeah, kind of more
they
like
should have
that.
Warp technology by now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so anyway, what I was getting at was even at Tenpenny Tower, Rob Tenpenny Tower from 3, where like all the rich people live, still isn't that nice.
Mm.
You know, it's still like kind of like trash and dirt everywhere. But anyway.
Yeah, because it's the apocalypse.
So you guys, do you know what was happening when that one scientist attacked the owner of the dog, who's like that guy who always plays like a weaselly little guy in everything that he's in?
Michael Emerson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what was happening?
No, what was happening, Zach? You tell us.
No, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
I don't think we're supposed to know.
Isn't Ben, like, the normal, like, Weasley, like, wasn't he in Lost?
Yeah.
He's always, I love the fact that he always plays the same fucking character.
Yeah.
I would love it. He like did like little things that made you think of Lost. Like it was like randomly tied it in. All right. So we get the So I mean, he works for Vault-Tec. We know this, and they're doing random experiments. One, they're experimenting with dogs who, if they don't meet the certain weight, they have to get rid of, which kind of fucking sucks. Because puppies, they're adorable. Why do they have to be fucking 10 ounces? But, it's all, it seems like they're doing breeding. Or not breeding, but like very specific breeding mitigations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that seems... But, oh my god, why did I play all these cards? So Vault-Tec is a super, it's obvious that Vault-Tec are like very, it's like a very specific scientific community, right? I think we can all agree.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, like, the fact that they have scientists doing random experiments and... Like, it's obvious from the first episode that Vault 33 was very specifically geared towards doing agriculture and, like, a very specific matriarch environment. And then Vault whatever 32 had their own thing. And they were also, it seems like, very agricultural. But, like, we can kind of assume that that's kind of part of their deal, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely got the impression that
I fucked up.
What was the guy's name? You said Sam or whatever? Was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. That's why the one guy fought him.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can tell that. One, he saved the dog, which was a big no-no.
Right.
Right?
Mm.
And then, and because of that, like, he had to train the dog in secret and then keep it behind all the goodness of the wall of shit, I guess. But like, you can see, like, he's a good scientist who is circumventing some of the precautions and specific limitations and guardrails of the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when he's caught, I mean, it's not like he hit it. Like, he pushed aside the fucking equipment, and there's just a giant hole in the wall.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, it, so as soon as he gets caught, like, everyone's like, hey, what the fuck?
Hmm. I think that was what was happening. But yeah, so I like the escape. Do you guys like the robot that says, like, please remain calm, and then starts blasting him?
Yeah. And it has terrible aim.
Yeah, it's like Stormtrooper level aim, which I feel like the troops are more powerful or more accurate, at least in the original Fallout games. But hey, you could also have more, you had more hit points back then. But maybe like Emerson's, you know, high level and has high agility. I don't know, but
it's, yeah, he like slowly like runs like very slowly away from it.
But also, I mean, there's hints of like when he's doing all the circumvention, like the AI is not super sophisticated.
Mm.
And we see the technology of the Knights, which is awesome, but also not super
sophisticated.
It's very steampunky, yeah. And we should mention he also injected some weird blue chip thing in him.
Yeah, he injected some random...
I thought it was like a tracking chip, like you put in a dog, so he put it in himself.
Can I ask you why you thought it was a tracking chip?
Because, you know, you inject a chip into a dog, and he had a dog, so I guess I was thinking of dog. That's about all there is to it.
Maybe it's something that makes you immune from the rads.
Well, okay, so later, spoiler alert, when he says, just cut my head off, I think that's probably what he meant.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It could be, because it's like the cure. Like, yeah, that could be like the whole MacGuffin of the whole series. Because it takes place after all the other Fallout games, so I don't know. It seems like maybe some big events happening that's going to change the whole Fallout universe.
That'd be nice. But yeah. So we get back to Lucy, and the song Don't Fence Me In is playing, which is great. It's a great song. And did you guys like, so this is, I don't know if this is really, you could call it the first example of the dark humor that Fallout has, but when she finds the family and they had Econo Savings Poison. Do you guys notice that?
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny.
Why? The first example of the dark humor? I mean, I feel like the whole first episode was all about the dark humor.
Okay. I think this was one of the more blatant ones.
Where did all the colony cars go? What the fuck?
We're buying them.
I thought you meant colonies like from Fallout.
No, I saw like 9 and now they're at 3 and I'm... Anyways, sorry, that was a divergent. What did you think? Like the way it got laid out, right? So like we see Lucy and all that other happy times and blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
If you came out of a vault, can I ask? That you were told for 200 years it was your safety zone, and maybe, if we're lucky, you would come out with your child and like the world be safe and you could survive, and then you ended up in like a desert-ish area with a beach and all that stuff. What would you do?
Wait, I'm sorry, what was that?
What would you do if for your whole entire life you were told like, oh, outside is not safe, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And then when you come out and you're like, oh shit, everything is actually kind of cool and mellow. And then you go to the beach and then someone comes out and you're like, oh shit. Like what would be going through your head?
I think, well, it is a little, I'm not sure. I think it is a little bit ridiculous how many times people tell Lucy, turn around, it's not safe, turn around, it's not safe. They say it like over and over again. We get it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't really train her very well for what's out there. And I know they don't know really, but like they should probably have a good idea.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I guess they don't want to give it away to the audience either. I quite like the part where Lucy's sleeping and then, what did you say his name was? Emerson?
Michael Emerson's the actor. The character is Dr. Wilzig. I wrote it down.
Mm. Wow. Wilzig just like appears, and then he says really like creepy, unsettling things. Where he's like big cockroaches called rad roaches. will eat someone like you.
Which is so weird because in Thailand they also eat like the giant cockroaches and very crustaceans and like all that other stuff. So like it's like but then I guess at that time frame where like society collapsed and all that stuff, they wouldn't have known that. But still that feels shady.
Well, certainly these guys are a lot bigger and more dangerous.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, so I do like love
seeing the giant bugs, though. I'm just like, okay, this show's gonna get pretty goofy. And then they having Michael Emerson there, just like they kind of play with your idea of him because you're like, oh, this guy's like a weirdo and distrusting, and he's like just shows up, but he's actually one of the nicer guys.
Mm. Yeah, actually, he is very. And you kind of get that, like, right off the bat when he's like, I'm not fucking sacrificing this dog. I just watched a shit ton of dogs just get murdered.
He's a nice guy. Except he has his own agenda, of course.
Well, but yeah. Obviously. Scientists always do.
Yeah, so speaking of nice guys, or not nice guys, then we get to know Titus better. He's a real jerk. Do you guys like when he makes Maximus clean his codpiece?
That was... I like how he just hit, like taps it and it just pops off, and you know whoever designed that fucking armor, that was like their intention.
Oh really? Well, yeah. How else are they gonna
clean it or pee? Yeah.
I mean, in normal like knight armor, like it's one giant like spanky, right? Like it's a metal spanky. But you know whoever created this armor specifically was like, yeah, no. This codpiece is going to pop off. Everything else is just additional. Someone's going to have to wash this shit.
And then, yeah, I like how Maximus gets punished for trying to make conversation.
Yeah. I was kind of ruined, though, when I looked up, like, I did the Amazon X-ray, and, like, it was like, it showed what, I was like, do I know this Titus character yet? And it said Michael Rapaport, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, did you not know that? Did you not?
I did not know it was Michael Rapaport until I saw the X-ray. But I kind of wish it was like the moment when he took off his mask that it said Michael Rapaport, that I knew it was him.
I feel like Rob could do the meme. I know that guy.
Yeah, I could do the Leo meme. Yeah.
And it was very. I appreciate the fact that they wrote the dialogue for him because, like, it was a very, very Michael Rapaport like dialogue. Like how it like. How he like the pacing of the dialogue was just so good for him. Like it was like other people probably would not have had the same thing. Like it was so good.
Yeah. So the
I feel like the fight with the bear showed how not very useful the armor is.
Yeah,
it's not as strong as it looks.
Yeah. Or it's just like it's hard to like punch things in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're wearing 2 tons worth of fucking armor. I mean, I feel like, yeah, it makes sense to not be able to move around.
Right, and Maximus is like, the armor is the best thing ever, but it's not.
Well, so I have a theory that I just came up with, it's for like people who fight on battlefields where they have guns and they're against other people who have guns.
I mean, probably.
Right. So it's like designed for a very specific kind of job.
You know. The other thought is, I mean, if pre, like, crazy military actions and all that stuff, if you wanted to build a power armor, I wouldn't want to fucking punch things. But, like, there's only a certain amount of technology you can do, right?
That's right.
I would still want that armor. That thing was badass. And for the metallurgy of that they had at the time, like, what are you gonna do, right?
Yeah, exactly. What are you gonna do? But yeah, so I think do you guys like when Titus says I'm bored and I want to shoot something? Do you think that was supposed to be a commentary on gamers?
Oh, no, I feel
no. It was supposed to establish that he's not devoted to the cause.
Right, that too.
Yeah, I mean
Full Metal Jacket vibes. Yeah, just the guy shooting the turret from the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He also jumped out of the... helicopter and just happened to be close to Emerson and his dog. That was lucky.
Very
close
lucky.
To every other character in this episode. Very convenient.
It's very powered by convenience, but I guess that's every show. Every show we watch.
I said to Andrew that the village being called Philly, if this show was set on the East Coast, I would be like, is that like a joke about Philadelphia?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
But it's not on the East Coast, is it? Well, they're in LA.
It's in LA.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be like a callback to it. Yeah.
Oh, you think it's a callback?
Or like a reference. Yeah.
I don't think it's a callback. I think it's just the fact that people don't remember what Philly is. So
yeah, I was thinking
something similar to Philly.
Like
someone heard Philly.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone heard Philly, and that was a cool thing, which is why they spell it with an F in rather than a PH.
Philly's a real shithole, this show.
Wow.
Really good. It looks like right out of the games. And it's supposed to look kind of like a shithole.
Yeah, I know. But there was a map we did in Fallout 76 that looked just like it.
There you go. There you go. Actually, did you guys have any comments on the water filter guy who Lucy meets?
The guy who drinks all her water?
Yeah.
I would not do really. The same thing.
I thought he was funny.
Yeah, it was a funny gag.
It's like your typical NPC.
And then the part...
I appreciate the fact that, one, he doesn't really know how the water filter system works, because, I mean, that is probably more commentary than anything. But two, like, he understands that, like, no, I mean, he ended up there and he got kind of fucked, and then I appreciate the fact that, like, you get offered water, you fucking drink that shit.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, yeah, he even says that. But yeah. But
he had so many great lines. Like, it was like, at one point, he's like, had two brothers die, had an aunt as well. She got killed there once. Like,
yeah, just the one time.
Just the one.
Just once.
And then, like, when she was leaving, he was just like, oh, thanks for not killing me. That was awfully nice of you. Like,
yeah. Yeah, clearly he has an interesting point of view about the world. Also, the part where he's like, I keep putting sand into the water filter, but water doesn't come out. It's supposed to be like Idiocracy, where people like forget how water filters work after 200 years.
I mean, he's got a little mutation.
I think one, yes, but two is the fact that like, it's because he talks about like how his family is like, yeah, got killed, and like it's obvious that his family were killed at a young age. So like he didn't really learn shit. He just knows that it's supposed to give him water, and it has to be filled. So like, it just makes sense to a certain amount of degree.
No, yeah, I know, but I do. You know, I always wonder how these guys are able to survive with the no water. Like, where does he get water from?
Because idiots like Lucy walk by and give him water.
Mm-hmm.
And he's near LA. I mean, maybe he can filter that water. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. I mean, it's a show.
Within like a not even, like you can literally see in the background, like he's by water.
Mm.
It's not like she walked for a whole entire day, like. It's just the fact that he was like, eh. And it's clear that like he isolated himself and this is his little plot of land, so he's only putting whatever's in his little plot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have that NPC encounter, and then we have the encounter with the chicken farmer where he's fighting the con artist.
Chicken farmer.
And Maximus decides to help out because he thinks he knows who's in the right, but it turns out he doesn't.
Well, Why is that not the right choice?
Well,
this is a serious question.
You don't think that the con artist deserved to get beaten up for having his
chickens?
Way with the chickens? Yeah, Anna, please.
What?
I you want to softball that a little? Yeah.
Do I want to what?
No, I'm joking.
Is this a PG podcast?
No.
No.
I'm just saying, like, the person who had relations with chickens
got his ass whooped.
Yeah.
And the other person was like, to be fair, yeah, no. I probably shouldn't beat his ass. What words? You can't have a conversation? Please don't put your wee wee in my cuckoo.
It's true. They were both
wee wee cuckoo.
Well, I would say they were both wrong. Some are more wrong than others. Punishment didn't fit the crime.
Yeah, like they both admit that. So, like, I mean, it's a Maverick, I guess, perspective. But still, yeah, I mean, it is a thing. But questioning this scene. If you had that armor, would you not do the exact same fucking thing?
No, I probably would. I mean, I think
smash things. Would you even feel guilty of kicking that rock and causing like that whole section of the wall crashing down? Would you feel guilty?
No way. It's a destroyed wall. But actually, Jay, that reminds me of something I wanted to ask you guys, which is, do you think Maximus is in fact just self-interested? Because he says to Titus, you don't deserve to wear the armor, and that's why he lets him die. Which I thought that part was kind of hardcore, actually.
Why?
I
can I ask why?
What do you mean? I mean, which part? Why about
why
part?
Do you think it was hardcore for him to say that?
No, I thought sitting there and watching his boss die, I thought it was kind of hardcore for the show.
It was kind of hardcore. It didn't help him at all. Most people can't just sit there and watch someone die.
Cold. Yeah, it's like
cold-blooded. It's like something out,
something out of Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's living out of fear a little bit. Yeah, because I mean, like the guy's like, yeah, you're going to get hung right after this mission, and I'm going to make it happen. And then he's like, well, I'd rather just have you die. Yeah, that so I think, yeah, he's I think a little cowardly, despite he has big ambitions, but yeah, he's kind of a little beta.
So that brings me back to a prior point of, do you think he's a true believer or is he just doing it for his own gain?
I think he's doing it for his own gain because when he had the armor, he was like, woohoo! Flying around.
Yeah, so like
all time.
So why would it be harsh for him if his whole point is just to tell him to go fuck off and like just take his shit?
Because it's still another human being. Whatever. I mean, I just had a thought.
I'm not saying any different. I'm just intrigued.
When he destroyed that building, you heard like random noises all of a sudden? Did you think like he killed somebody in that building initially? That's what I had thought. I didn't know if that was the intention.
I did not think that.
Oh, okay. All right.
For what
I thought maybe it was like a, you know, sign of things to come where he has so much power and he just ends up making things worse because he's not ready for it.
So, quick question. Rob, you weren't here for last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he sabotaged his friend to get the power, to be the apprentice?
With the knife, razor in the boot.
Yeah, to get the spot on the mission. Get the promotion.
Yeah, I was so confused by that because the way it went down. So I think you're right. I think that's probably the case because, like, I feel like Jonathan Nolan likes these, like, reveals that, you know, change everything up. So I can see it being like, okay, he's actually more duplicitous than he appears. Because I don't know, like, his flashbacks are also so mysterious. Like, it's like you see, like, 10 seconds of a flashback. So I'm just like, what are we hiding? Because you're hiding something with all this.
Is Jonathan Nolan the producer or something?
He's the director, co-showrunner with his wife, Lisa Joy. But yeah, he's Christopher Nolan's brother. And I mean, he like wrote the original, I think, novel or short story of Memento. And like, he's been involved in a lot of the Nolan movies. So I mean, like, he's not just
his mind is fucked up.
Yeah.
He understands how to get into your head and like make you play games with yourself. I just wanted to know how you felt because because that will make a giant impact on how you feel like this whole conversation goes and like all the influences of after that, right? Because if you feel like, oh yeah, no, he would be able to fuck over his friend because it's all about power and making like his own influence, right? Versus, oh no, he's wholeheartedly into like believing in his friends and protecting people, or hey, fuck you. Yeah, full believer in the Brotherhood of Steel, right? So there's three different levels, hence I wanted to ask.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, my theory is he's self-interested, but he uses the high-minded ideals of the Brotherhood of Steel to get what he wants anyway, whether that be going on the mission, getting the suit, etc.
Yeah, he's one of the more complex characters. And I think Wong Goggins, the ghoul character, is also like,
yeah,
oddly, I think, like, you don't know his motives very clearly either.
Yeah, uh-huh. I agree. Those two are the ones that intrigue me the most. But, like, yeah, in this capacity, like, trying to figure out whether or not, like, it's altruistic, a Titan should be this and this and this. Like, I mean, we get the flashback of him seeing him being saved by Titus, right? And it is Titus.
Yeah.
So, like,
sure? Are you sure?
It's the same insignia for Titus.
Yeah, but that could be like his units.
Your face is on the unit.
So my unit. well, okay, Jay, if you're right, that makes it even more hardcore that he just sits there and let him die then.
Right, so which would then re-influence your whole perspective. Is he actually a true believer of the Brotherhood of Steel, or is he more power hungry? So, like, my head kept spinning, like, for, like, a good hour of, like, ah, shit, what do I believe in? I don't know. I hence my question, because I don't know what I believe yet.
I see. Well, for now, we'll go back to Lucy coming in, and she meets... He goes into the store, a classic video game move. You go into the store and is told to check her privilege by this storekeeper.
which he accepts too. I like she has like a pre-written, like, he's like, I understand that I should be very grateful for what I have. Like, oh, that's right. A nice moment.
Yeah. I also really like when she's like, Barb, get in here. We got an actual vault dweller. I thought they had all died out. That was funny.
Yeah, a lot of weird, like, I think, yeah, there's at least like five or so weirdo characters, and they're all adorable.
I mean, that's what the these Bethesda games are all about, is these memorable characters that capture your heart.
Yeah.
Yes. So the scientist somehow knows. Does he know her name, or does he just know about her vault?
Knows her name.
He knows her wife's name too, which is interesting.
No, so that was the neat twist, and we never find out. We're not never. In the course of this episode, we don't know how he knows that. The ghoul shows up. He immediately gets his foot blasted off. The scientist, that is.
Yeah. Which is a great, like, just like, well, it's like the games too, like the fault, you know, with the gibbing. But also just like, you know, characters are just going to get killed and maimed constantly. That's just a nice little reveal.
You know, there's a lot of comedy violence in this part where the people are like exploding from the guy's bullets.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, they are very specific bullets that have like
that make people explode.
Yeah, I mean, they're very. It's a callback to a very specific type of weapon, ammo in the game.
Right. Woohoo.
Fuck, I didn't pay attention to
it. Nicely played.
Thank you.
Yeah, but again, yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, that was a very specific type of ammo that made it work. But it also plays to you the whole concept of how certain outlawed cities run, right?
Yeah, but yeah, so first Lucy tries to de-escalate the conflict using diplomacy. I guess the speech skills were not quite good enough.
No.
And then Maximus arrives to try to,
Maximus shows up to do nothing. Maximus just randomly shows up and is like, ah, shit, there's a lot of shooting. Let's make this work. There's a pretty lady. How you doing?
Yeah, by the way, something I really appreciate about this show is stuff happens. It's like we don't...
Exactly.
I'm thinking of like the Rings of Power, where we follow our characters for like 3 episodes waiting for something that... like waiting for like a plot to be revealed. I think the idea is you're like, oh, it's mysterious. No, this show is not mysterious. It's like, here's the stakes. Go get them.
So I love that would align with like, yeah, Michael Emerson's Dr. Winslet just like losing his leg. I'm like, oh, stuff is actually gonna occur in this show. And then like all 3 characters meet, you know, in episode 2, like 3 main characters. I'm like, oh, this is a nice breath of fresh air. But I guess there's 8 episodes, so you know, they have to
move it kind of
a little faster. Yeah.
Well, I just feel like in a lot of other shows they would be tracking Emerson for a little while before they even meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, because it's not necessary for the whole story plot, right?
But for other shows it might be. In other shows they might be like, oh, we gotta give him at least a 3-episode arc. He's a big actor.
Yeah, but at the same time, do they want to pay him for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Emerson gets his foot replaced with this, like, ball tech.
Yeah, vomit.
As someone who cherishes my legs, oh my god. I paused it so many times, I was like, I don't know if I can make it through the scene. I love my legs. And this just was like, ah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, Guru got kind of grossed out by that part, too. Okay, so then we get Glucy's next quest. He's like, take me to the client, which is Moldaver. Yeah, which, again, is kind of convenient.
Of course it is. This is a small world. There's not enough people in it to clean up.
You can't even sweep the floor after 200 years.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but I still liked it because it kept Lucy, you know, involved.
But again, I mean, this ties to our previous conversation where we talked about the vaults. And again, it's not like all vaults are connected. There are very specific ranged areas and very specific, like, connections to certain outcomes. So, like, it kind of makes sense, especially after seeing first episode. Like, oh yeah, no, all these fucking characters are going to be interconnected because it's all fucking incestual.
But they're all connected to the Dr. Winzig character. Like, you know, one's chasing it, one's got a bounty on it, one just met him in a, like, fireside chat. But, like, I mean, that was just kind of a big coincidence, but I don't know.
Immediately loyal to him because she's the PC.
Exactly. Well, she seems nice. Yeah. Also, does she... I don't know. She's a very good actress, but there's a part of me that's like, is she almost like too pretty for this? She looks kind of like a supermodel walking around with like a bunch of like comical freaks around her. I'm just like,
why you gotta hit on pretty people?
Yeah. I just like, should they take note of this more? I don't know. It's
good genetics. I mean, this whole fucking show is all about genetics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys notice that she has big eyes too?
Do you think
that's like a special effect, or that's just how she
looks? Oh, that's just how she looks.
But yeah, so the ghoul fights Maximus and breaks the suit.
You know, she probably looks good because she actually had healthcare, unlike everybody else.
Well, she has Kyle McLaughlin jeans, which helps, yeah, but
yeah,
still.
But anyway, so the suit gets destroyed. Or actually, I guess it hasn't been destroyed yet. I guess the implication is it's
he could repair it.
Yeah. So I like that. It was like Batman versus Superman or something. Or like Batman versus Iron Man. And the ghoul then heals the dog. So I think the dog is now going to be loyal to him.
No, I don't think so.
Using his stim pack. You don't think so, Anna?
Loyal? How loyal?
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be loyal to what's the ghoul's name?
The ghoul. It's literally called the ghoul in the Amazon X-ray.
Yeah.
Oh, his name. I thought his name might have been revealed in that first episode.
No.
The cowboy.
We can just call him Walton Goggins. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Zach. Though I think he's going to be like loyal, because who else does he know?
Her butt.
The head, the severed head.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob, have you seen A Boy and His Dog?
Of course. I when I went to San Diego Comic Con, I dressed as A Boy and His Dog for cosplay, and nobody got the reference. But it's fine.
It's
a little too obscure.
I've never seen you dress up for like anything.
I rarely do, especially these days. But this was, I was in my 20s.
Went to San Diego.
I was a young man. I had to like go big or go home. It was San Diego Comic Con.
Nice.
But yeah, that's a great movie.
I want to see a picture in the put in the Discord.
Yeah, if I could dig it up. I had a little stuffed animal for the dog.
Cute. Yeah. Have you read Vic and Blood?
No, I don't know of that.
It's the short story that the movie's based on.
Oh, by the
Harlan?
Who's that writer? Yeah, thank you. Harlan Ellison. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, so we get the final scene where Emerson says he's taking a suicide pill, all he needs is the head, and then Lucy has to cut his head off with like a collapsible chainsaw. Where the song I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire plays, which we already saw in what show, everybody?
Watchmen?
Star Trek Picard.
Oh.
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 Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, that song has been around.
I mean, yeah. But, so, I appreciate the fact that they're like, oh, yeah, you only need my head. But it was like, was it like right below his jaw? Was it in his face?
Like, I think it was like behind his ear.
Yeah, so like, how do you know that Lucy's going to cut the right spot?
Again, you know, he has a lot of faith in her and the show.
Is it behind the ear or like on the neck?
I thought it was on the neck.
I don't remember either.
I have to look again. But I was like, oh, she's totally going to screw this up and I'm going to laugh a lot.
That would make sense.
But I appreciate the chain, like the chain knife.
Yeah.
It had a really good sound effect, like when it was like, oh, did.
Like it felt meaty, which was
yeah, it really did.
They left such a trail behind them. How did the ghoul not catch up to them in about 2 seconds?
He was busy with the dog. I admit that it didn't make a ton of sense that they were able to get away.
Did you yelp and cry for the puppy when it got stabbed?
Yeah,
hid. I didn't watch.
Yeah, that was bad.
How bad that puppy's like short-term memory is. It felt like me. I was like, yeah, I would not remember that either. I'd be a dummy too.
But he was getting attacked. He was defending himself. I don't know.
No, it defended Emerson. Like, it recognized like what the threat was. Until it got stabbed.
Yeah.
Poor pup.
Hmm.
Oh, poor puppy. Such a good puppy. Such a good doggy.
Yeah, so any other thoughts on the episode? I thought they moved things along pretty well, though I didn't quite like it quite as much as episode one.
I feel like it does, those stim packs are kind of a nice cheat because it feels like maybe a little bit more is happening than it really is. They're like, oh, that dog just got killed. And like, oh, actually, the dog didn't get killed. Like, the stim packs saved him. And like, Emerson almost survived, kind of. But then, yeah.
The dog's also probably some sort of like super dog.
Yeah, a genetically engineered super dog.
Yeah, we know they are genetically engineered. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the fact that the show is not going into too much just because it's then enticing people to go, oh, what is this lore? Why is this happening? And then feeding into, oh, I should probably play the game. There is such a big revival in the whole franchise of gaming that because of the show, it's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah, they're doing a good job. I'm pretty happy with it.
Are you guys liking these end credit CGI sequences?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I don't stay and watch them. Like, I don't like them that much, but
oh, okay. That's fair.
It's a good idea. I like the old, the old music.
I like their theme to the episode, I guess. Because when I first saw the first episode, I was like, this is kind of ugly looking. But now I'm like, oh, because I'm going to get 8 of them. So that's a little bit better, at least. But I think it looked cooler.
What?
Yeah.
Dang.
Close game, folks.
Ridiculous.
Any attention.
You'll get a Milana someday.
Is there any more thoughts on the episode, or should we move on to questions of the day? Matt texted me some.
I appreciate how they're going about things, making the intrigue, and I definitely appreciate their business savvy of bringing it back to the games and making you want to play the games, and the intrigue of like the fact that, oh, there's a lot of people in the world that understand Vault Dwellers, and like there's like that mystique of, why do people hate them? Like, it's building on a lot of intrigue and a lot of interesting perspectives. I appreciate the idea that no one suggested, hey, Lucy, how about you buy some fucking clothes?
Some different clothes.
She'll figure it out eventually.
Eventually.
I like the part where the scientist is like, you're from Vault 33. You were raised in a meritocracy.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
like, he knows things about our vault.
Yeah, it is interesting how their reputation precedes them, but she also like seems to be picking up on that pretty quick, right?
And I just like the lines, good lines, that where he says it must be hard when Lucy says it must be hard for you with all the murder and the dirt, like kind of sums up the whole show. Like,
yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of little pieces that like you can't really put together that make it work, and it's I'm actually thoroughly enjoying the fact that like I appreciate that the mutant bear can damage the power armor, like literally put gashes in it, and the fact that like the power armor you could tell that like when he gets into it, like he kind of sort of understands how to work it. And then at other times he's surprised, and then they're like, then the ghoul is like, hey, you're dumb. You are just learning, aren't you? Like, there's a lot of really nice little touches to it, though. Anyways, question number one.
All right, so Matt sent me the questions, even though he's not here. So the first question is, what is your favorite ship? And I do not mean, I actually came up with this one. I do not mean
relationship.
I mean a relationship, right? I don't mean a spaceship.
Oh, so you mean an actual ship.
An actual ship.
Yeah. So well, we're not talking about, what was Green Arrow and
Felicity?
Yeah.
No, that's a ship. That's the kind of ship I'm talking about.
Oh, you're talking about that type of ship.
So yes. Not actual ship.
Shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck me.
There's a lot of good options.
Are there?
Yeah. Kirk and Spock, the original. That's one. But I think I'm going to go with Nightwing and Barbara Gordon.
Starfire Erasure.
Whatever. You can only be with one, Alana.
Mm.
How about you, Alana? You gotta have some.
No, I don't.
Who would have thought this one would be the hardest question of the day?
Yeah, you broke me.
R2, no. Not the USS Connecticut. Like, relationships. So, like, in fantasy and in comics and media, you have two characters that you think should be in a relationship.
They are, or have been.
They are, or you think they should be.
I'm pushing for them to be in it.
I'll go with, this is a pretentious choice.
You're a pretentious choice.
I am a pretentious choice. I wish I was. There's a million others that are probably better, but like there's the Before trilogy with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. They made a movie like every 10 years or so, like starting in the early 90s. Richard Linklater directed all of them, and I don't know. I seen that like relationship, because it's like the relationship starts when they're like in their early 20s and like the world's their oyster, and then like in the second one, spoilers, they're still not together, but they're in like a they have like a marriage and they have young kids with other people kind of thing, and like their life where it's at, and then like the third one, they're together themselves and they're trying to make it work, but you're just seeing how a relationship evolves over 20 years and like how the actors themselves age, because they were involved with the writing eventually, Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy, so there's like a lot of themselves in it.
That was so deep. It confused. Like, it made me forget like what I was thinking of.
So what's the ship, Rob?
The relationship is Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke's character, who I don't know their names, but it's the relationship for the ages.
But they're together. They're already together.
They were like, I mean, they weren't. You were kind of pushing for the relationship. Like, the first two of the three, they're not together, I would say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, for mine, they eventually get together sometimes. So, it's all good.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of pushing. I guess I see what you're saying. It's got to be, well, the Kirk and Spock thing. So, you're saying that's like...
I mean, that's a classic example of a ship.
Yeah. I mean, my joke answer would have been Spider-Man and Deadpool.
All right.
Are you trying to make rules like the ship has to not be a real relationship?
No, I didn't. I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Sure. Yeah. My joke answer is Deadpool and Spider-Man, but
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Think about that. No, I feel like every ship with Wolverine is just bad because the asshole is like 100 years old.
Can't imagine Wolverine being with anyone ever.
Jean Grey when he falls in love with her when she's fucking 16. And
gross.
No, it's just, yeah, it's just bad. Wolverine is just a bad shipper.
I thought of, Spider-Man and MJ, the new movies.
Oh, the
Zendaya and Tom Holland.
Tom Holland.
They could never
so close to real life. Yeah, they can't break up ever again.
Might make a fourth one. He's trying.
It doesn't seem necessary.
I feel like his career's not going quite where he wants it, so he's just like...
Excuse me, what? He's in a very controversial Romeo and Juliet play in London.
I wasn't aware of this, actually.
Yeah. I mean, he's a theater
boy. What happened?
Oh, they cast a black woman as Juliet. People lost their goddamn minds.
People are weird.
So it's not a real controversy, okay.
Oh, it's a controversy.
I mean, it's a controversy, just not about Tom Holland.
Yeah.
People are trying to protest against them. Production of it. Other joke is Goku and Vegeta.
Nice.
That was a great choice, Jay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think now that we all got one, we can move on to the next question.
It's such a good question, though. Can we circle back next week?
Yeah, you can think about it. Bring your favorite ship for next time. Goku and Vegeta is a good choice.
Professor X and Magneto.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's,
Magneto seems really gay in the new cartoon. Have you guys watched it?
I mean, have you seen him in general?
I mean, just more than
General, yeah.
The costume, it's like, whoa.
I like that costume. It looks cool.
Which one?
Which one? He has the same one. I mean, it hasn't changed.
Why don't you watch the cartoon? Have you seen it?
No.
Then you have nothing. He's
wearing a different costume.
He changed his costume?
His tight purple outfit with the big M?
Yeah, the purple with the like, Bridgerton gloves.
It's so good. I love it. Like, I fucking love that costume. It's one of my favorite costumes.
It's really extra.
Okay, so question number two. If you were running for president in this year, in the year of our Lord 2024, what is your one campaign issue you would be sure to make their priority?
I'm under 70.
Okay, that's not a campaign issue.
It is an issue.
But we appreciate that.
Mental facilities are here.
If I was running for president?
Yeah.
I don't know.
None of my kids will benefit off of this.
You have no issue that you care about, Alana?
It's more like I have to think of the ultimate issue that would make me win.
Oh, so you want to win?
Well, yeah, if I'm going to go through the effort.
Well, while Alana's thinking, I'm going to say campaign finance reform. I may not win with it, but that's okay because I don't really want the job anyway.
I do feel like, I mean, if you say, like, spread the money, it's that pisses off a lot of people. But, like, I feel like you say tax the rich and people are like, yeah, that's, I think, over 50% of people would like that. And I think...
No, it's actually, it's like 46%.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
I hate to be that. Excuse me, dude.
You could be right. Yeah, but that I would still, I think a lot of our problems come from that, and I think
100.
We would suddenly we could afford healthcare, and suddenly, I don't know, we could afford.
Did Rob say tax the rich?
Yeah, just tax the rich.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It would be nice if that were and a like, thing.
I think there's all. I think there's a lot of people that think like they'll eventually be rich, so they don't want to get those rich people taxed. But let's be honest, most of us are not going to be rich. Not like top 2% rich.
Mm.
So.
I guarantee you I'm one of the poorest of the people I know.
All right, Alana, how about you? Did you come up with something?
Expand the Supreme Court.
Oh, you want to... What's it called?
What?
It's called packing the court.
Pack the court.
Pack the court. What would be the end number? What would be the end number that you could do?
I don't know. How many are there now?
9?
How about 10?
10. The thing is, once you do that, then the next guy will just be like, well, how about 30? And then just like,
it just continues. Oh, shoot. I got a backup. Sorry. I need a backup.
All right, and then finally, what food would you pick?
I didn't pick an answer.
Oh, you were serious. I thought you were serious about the age one.
No, that
was. Yeah, I did too.
Sure. Okay. You know what? Fine. Let's go. Continue on. It was kind of, it was a half serious answer.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your serious answer?
No. Let's just go. Keep going.
Okay. So finally, what food would you pick to represent your home state?
Home state.
Yes.
I mean, pizza.
Jay, kind of an easy one. What do you want?
For Rochester?
It's not your home state.
New York.
Like, all of New York is pizza.
New York pizza is dope.
Only from the city. This is upstate erasure.
No, that's upstate adjudication and like addition. No, fuck you. When people say think New York, they think delicious
garbage plates,
thin crust slices of deliciousness.
You're gonna make me hungry.
Chicago deep dish. No.
What?
just wanted to piss people off.
Otherwise, it would be good. Bagels. One or the other.
Those are both good.
Bagels.
So we need to think of something for Connecticut. That's gonna be tough.
Connecticut doesn't have anything.
What is Connecticut's culture? Yeah.
Not, there is none. It'd be like tapas.
I appreciate that R2 says previously said USS Connecticut, but now R2 is saying Biali from Hyderabad, India.
Hyderabad.
Hyderabad. Yes, thank you.
The Jay, I don't want to look at the chat because I don't want to look at your hand. It just feels
I don't
wrong.
Care if you look at
my hand. So I don't Dude, think you're I cheat by looking
I
at his
barely
hand.
Understand my hand.
Maybe it's a magnet. It doesn't matter.
Give that guy a hand.
I'm from Maryland, so I should say crab, but I'm not the biggest crab guy, so I'm going to say Old Bay.
That's probably the better choice.
Yeah.
Well, we can do seasoning. I'm going to say nutmeg for Connecticut.
Oh.
Wow.
Nutmeg counts as food. All right, how about you, Alana?
Are you going to go with a Connecticut or New York thing?
I'm not or from Texas? New York. Texas. Not from Texas.
I mean, you lived in all of them.
I said, I'm saying tapas for Connecticut.
Tapas. Great. All right. That's all. Anything else, you guys?
Yeah. Our happy listener of the actual podcast recording, Horace, was yelling at me.
Uh-oh.
Why are you not covering Fallout? Even my family likes this show. Why are you not doing it? And I was like,
oh my God.
We are. He's like, I just listened to Blue Beetle 1 and why. I was like, okay, so you're on pace. You just haven't gotten to the released episode. He's like, oh, shit. Yeah, I wanted to hear it. And I was like, yes. And then he yelled at you for all of you for not wanting to watch X-Men.
You know, you can also listen to twitch.tv/MCSlanty where you can catch us every week on Tuesday nights.
Hey, yo!
And group up with us next time.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you. Come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they play.